Would you turn to the last verse in 2 Corinthians? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion or fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Now it's not time to go because I've got a few things to say about that. In Matthew chapter 3 that we had read together, we had a picture of the Trinity brought before us. Did you notice that? The Lord Jesus was being baptized. The Father's voice from heaven was heard saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the Holy Spirit, like a dove, abode upon him. What a glorious picture of God in his triune character. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And here we have another picture of the Holy Trinity. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been meditating upon that this morning. And we know the grace of the Lord Jesus, who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes became poor. So poor that he went to the cross and died for us. And the love of God, I was thinking of that verse, I nearly gave the hymn out, loved with everlasting love. 336 in redemption. Loved with everlasting love. And I heard the Spirit whisper to my heart this morning that I've been loved. You think of it, loved with everlasting love. The love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Somebody has asked this question. Is it possible to imagine a single sentence more richly freighted with spiritual treasure? Is it possible? It treats of all the wealth of the Saviour's grace, all the wonder of the Father's love, and all the peace and power and fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You just meditate upon it this morning. The wealth of the Saviour's grace, the wonder of the Father's love, and the power and the peace and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. I suppose there's no verse more often quoted in Christendom today than this verse. There'll hardly be a church in the universe today that doesn't finish their service with the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The striking thing about the benediction does not concern itself, you will have noticed, with the persons of the Trinity, but with their attributes. Now I use that word because I can't think of a better one, the attributes of the Trinity. It doesn't say the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, nor God be with you, nor the Holy Spirit be with you, does it? No, it says, on the contrary, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. When a father divides his fortune, if he's got one, among his children, it is usual or quite a common thing for the father to give to each of his children a part a part of his fortune. You remember the prodigal said to the father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." And he divided unto his two sons his inheritance. To each one of those boys he gave a part of his inheritance. But when a mother divides her love among her children, and it matters not how many children she's got, whether it's one, or not one, two or three, or half a dozen, when she divides her love among the children, what does the mother do? Does she give to each one a part? This one a bigger part, a greater part than the other? Oh no, you say. The mother doesn't do that. She gives all of her love to each. Isn't that right? She gives all of her love to each. And each one of her children share all of the mother's love, not part of it. You know, the sunshine out there today is all mine. Well, you know, you say it's not, it's all mine. Of course it is. The sunshine is all mine. And it's all yours too. If a million others are enjoying it with me, I've no less of it, no less of it. It's all mine. It's all mine. Even although millions of other people are today enjoying the sunshine, it's all mine and it's all theirs. It's the same with the birds singing. I often sit in the backyard and listen to the birds. We've got some trees and it attracts them. And the singing of those birds is all mine to enjoy. And it matters not whether all the neighbours are enjoying it too. I'm not enjoying it any less because they're enjoying it with me. But the singing of the birds in the trees is all mine. The flowers blooming, we all enjoy it. We've been to some beautiful gardens, Grace and I, throughout the world. Beautiful gardens. And when we've been there, we weren't the only ones there. There were thousands of other people all enjoying the blooming of the flowers, the colours and the variety. Every one of us enjoying it all together. And it was all ours, all mine. The golden sunset. My, we've enjoyed that, haven't we? And as we've sat and watched the sun setting and the colours in the sky, it was all of ours. Even although millions of others may have been enjoying it too, it was all mine for that moment. It's like the fish in the sea. You see, just because one fish is swimming in the ocean, it doesn't mean to say that the others haven't got a part in it. It's all the ocean, you see, for all the fish. It's all the air for all the birds. It's all the flowers for all the people that want to enjoy it. And the golden sunset is all for everyone. It's all mine. And so it is with the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's all mine. It's all mine. The grace of the Lord Jesus is all mine to enjoy and to meditate upon, even although you're meditating upon it. And even although it's yours too, I've no less of it, because you have some of it, no less of it, because you're enjoying it. All of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is mine, just like the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea and so on. It's all mine, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we've sat here this morning and we've mused upon the grace of the Saviour. The grace of the Saviour. I sat with some brethren the other day at a meeting, and they were lamenting the fact that there's a tremendous lack of spontaneous worship in our gatherings. Spontaneous worship. What we all seem to be doing is sitting down and thinking up a sermon to preach when we get up to praise the Lord. And while we're thinking of that sermon to preach, when we get up to worship Him, somebody else gets up before us and it's too late. But you know, real worship is spontaneous. Real worship is musing, meditating, dwelling upon the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now I know there's umpteen numbers of definitions for worship, but to me it's simply heart occupation with Christ. It's just musing upon the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And while I'm musing upon His grace, while I'm meditating upon that grace that brought Him from heaven above to die on Calvary for sinners such as you and I, I've no less of the grace of God, because you're doing the same thing. It's all mine. And it's all yours too. And so it is with the love of God. All the love of God. All of it. All of it is for each of us. Is for each of us. Just as a mother's love is for all her children to enjoy, so the love of God, all of it, mind you, not part of it for you and a bigger part for him and another part for somebody else, but all the love of God is for you and I to enjoy and to meditate upon. Every single one of us can sing, loved with everlasting love. And we can remember the words, I have loved thee, with an everlasting love. And so all of the grace of the Lord Jesus and all of the love of God, all of it, is for each and every one of us. This is the spirit of the benediction, the spirit of the benediction. And then all of the consolation and the comfort and the peace, the leading, the guidance, the power and so on of the Holy Spirit is for each and every one of us. All of it. All of it. All the sea for every fish. All the air for every bird. That is the principle. All of the grace of the Lord Jesus. All of the love of God. And all of the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And all that that means is for each and every one of us. It's not each of a million Christians having a 1,000,000th share in the grace of Christ and in the love of God and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, but the whole grace, love and fellowship is theirs entirely and for each and every individual saint. Wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful. Did you imagine that there was so much in that verse? We often quote it very glibly, you know, at the end of a service. And I do believe that throughout the world today, it will be quoted glibly and, you know, just as a matter of course, without any feeling whatever. The grace of the Lord Jesus. I hope we're not going to do it today. But let's take it home with us. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship or communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now until he come. Amen. Would you turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 4? John's first epistle, chapter 4. It's great, isn't it, to be able to meditate upon the love of God. To me, it brings back happy memories when I first realized that God loved me. And the realization of this truth has changed the lives of men and women right down through the ages. Or to think that God loved a sinner like me. I just can't understand it, can you? God loved me. It was a favorite theme of John's. He wrote in his gospel, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. In this epistle, in the third chapter, he said, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And we shall never be allowed to forget, those of us that come to this chapel, that God is love. For there it is emblazoned on the wall behind me. We see it every time we enter this chapel. God is love. Let's read about it. John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And we do, don't we? No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God is love. We shall never forget that. God is love. I just wanted to bring before you some of the characteristics of God's love. The first one that I was thinking about is that God's love is all-embracing. God's love is like the sunshine. It covers land and sea. It fills my heart with gladness when I know that God loves me. And we often used to sing at Terry Street Sunday School, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God's love is all embracing. God loves everybody. Everybody. Irrespective of the colour of their skin, irrespective of their race or their creed, God loves them. How do I know? Well, I know because God would have all men to be saved. God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And God gave his only begotten Son that he might die for the sins of the whole world. So God's love is all-embracing. It's universal. God is love. Another thing about God's love is that it's unmerited. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I couldn't tell you why God loved me, but I know he did. Moses said to the Israelites, God didn't choose you because you were the greatest among the peoples of the world, or words to that effect. Why did he choose Israel? The only answer that Moses could give was because he loved you. Because he loved you. Why did he choose Leo Marlin? Why do I stand here this morning elect according to the foreknowledge of God? I don't know. The only answer I can give you as to why the Lord chose me and as to why the Lord loved me and gave himself for me is because he loved me. He loved me. And that's the only reason that you can give as to why the Lord chose a hopeless, guilty sinner like you to be saved and to share his glory throughout eternal ages. His love is unmerited. There was no merit in us whatever. We were just poor, hopeless sinners, aliens from the Commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, without God and without Christ in the world. And in that hopeless condition, God loved us. God loved us. Another thing about his love is that it was sacrificial. Sacrificial. God the Father's love was marked by him giving his only Son. What a sacrifice. What a sacrifice. For the Father to give the darling of his bosom, the only son he had, his only Isaac, as it were. What a tremendous sacrifice. And yet in love for us, he gave his only Son. Christ's love for us was marked by him dying for us on the cross. Greater love, it's already been quoted in our hearing, hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the Lord Jesus laid down his life on Calvary, not so much for his friends, but for sinners such as you and me. God's love, whether you think of the Father or whether you think of the Son, God's love was indeed sacrificial. It cost the Father all that he had, and it cost the Son all that he had. For when he gave himself for us, He gave all that he had. He gave himself. God's love is a conquering love. It enables us to overcome the trials, the temptations that God in his wisdom allows us to pass through. For Romans chapter 8 says, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Another thing about the love of God is that it's inseparable. Love which nothing can break. Paul said in Romans 8 again, what can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from God's love? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing on this earth or beneath this earth or above it either that can separate us from the love of God. And another thing about God's love is that it's eternal. It's everlasting. It goes on and on and on. And when we get to heaven, we'll still bask in the sunshine of his love. And we'll still sing of his love. For when we get there, we're going to sing unto him that loveth us and that washed us from our sins in his own blood. God's love is not like ours. You know, our love ebbs and flows. We're up and down. We love one day and not the next. But God's love is everlasting, it's eternal, it's unchangeable, it's like himself. It never changes. God's eternal, everlasting love. Well, that's all I have to say. I just thought of those characteristics of his love. You maybe can think of others. But it's been wonderful to meditate this morning, as we often do, on the love of God and on the love of our Father and on the love of the Lord Jesus, who loved us and who gave himself for us.